This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Every once in a while here on Radio Boston, we have a guest who requires no introduction.
Or at least shouldn't require an introduction, like Jonathan Goldsmith. He's a journeyman actor who lives in Vermont, but he's best known now for portraying the most interesting man in the world in the wildly successful advertising campaign for the Dos Equis Beer Company.
In a past life, he was himself. If opportunity knocks and he's not home, opportunity waits. He gave his father the talk. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. Stay thirsty, my friend.
Jonathan Goldsmith toiled for years in relative obscurity in Hollywood, doing minor roles for film and TV, but it's that advertising campaign that relaunched his career.
So these days, he's selling beer. He's also a philanthropist committed to ridding the world of landmines, following in the footsteps of the late Princess Diana and former Beatle Paul McCartney.
But it's his beer commercial character that has become something of a cultural meme.
You know, he lives vicariously through himself.
He once had an awkward moment. Just to see how it feels.
He speaks fluent French in Russian.
Okay. So let's get to this interview. Anthony spoke with Jonathan Goldsmith recently from his home in Vermont about portraying the most interesting man in the world.
Jonathan, what explains the really dramatic resonance of this character, the world's most interesting man?
I think it's every man's fantasy, and perhaps women too, to be that guy, including me. You know, I mean, look at all the beautiful things that he surrounds himself, the gorgeous women, the textures, the feelings, the joy of life, exuberance. It's attractive, and it brings a smile to people's face.
There's great writing, too, and I just want to read some of these lines. I mean, you obviously know them better than me, but here are some of my here's some of my favorites. He wants parallel park to train.
Oh, that was an easy one.
That's his passport requires no photograph. I like that one. This is a good one, too. He once brought a knife to a gunfight just to even the odds.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if you have a favorite.
I do. He once warned a psychic. I think that's marvelous.
That's fantastic.
The nice thing about I'm having such a good time with this because this brings, as you're laughing, it brings a smile to people's face.
Yeah, it really does. Tell me what inspired the character.
What actually inspired the character was a dear friend of mine who some of your older listeners will remember, Fernando Lamas, who was a really charming, sophisticated raconteur. He had all kinds of wonderful relationships, friendships, affairs. He was the best storyteller I've ever known. He was the one that actually inspired my character or my interpretation of the character as they presented me a rather broad slate to have some fun with.
He's done a lot for silver-haired men of a certain age, and I want to ask you about this. When you were trying out for this advertising role, were you surprised that you rose to the top of the list and eventually beat out much younger talent?
When I went for the first interview, there were like 500 people, and I felt that, you know, that I was totally wrong for this. I got out, and I talked to my wife, who was my agent. I said, Barbara, this is ridiculous. They're not looking for me. They're looking for a Latino, a Juan Valdez type, a Spanish romantic image. You got the wrong guy.
So what's the best argument that the world's most interesting man should be? A debonair gentleman in his late 60s, early 70s, somewhere around there?
How can one have life experience if they haven't been around long enough to have experiences?
Tell us a bit about your career in film and TV that brought you to this point. For many years, you had a series of minor roles in film and TV. You knew and worked with some of the greats, including John Wayne, Burt Lancaster. How do you sum up that part of your career?
Well, it's all a progression. I started out as an extra in New York. In my first year, I worked for Ilya Kazan, William Inge, Tennessee Williams, and Arthur Miller. And then after that auspicious debut, if you will, I went to California and drove a garbage truck. I did do a lot of small roles, but I ended up climbing the ladder and I guest starred in over 350, including some well-known series like Dallas, Knott's Landing, and numerous other shows. But yeah. a lot of the big ones, and then ageism set in, and my hair got a little gray. I got a little older, and the roles were not coming as they once did. And I got out of the business, got into the business world, became extremely successful. I started a company, but I always wanted to get back to the theater. And film. I just wanted to do it on my terms, really. I met this wonderful agent who became my wife, and she really believed in me and sent me up on this crazy commercial. They ask me frequently on the red carpet, what's the best thing about being a celebrity? And the answer is very easy: to cause some excitement and some buzz and interest in things that I hold dear to me. And that's creating a legacy, but it started a long time ago.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You've done some charity work with that involve real-life dangers. You're working with Clear Path International,
right,
which is dedicated to removing landmines around the world. How did you get involved in that?
Well, one of the gentlemen that formed the company, Jamie Hathaway, lives just up the road from me, and we were good friends and are. And he was asking me if I might want to get involved, and I said I certainly would. It's just incredible to think that there are still hundreds of thousands of pieces of ordnance that are just waiting to cripple, kill, maim, and destroy families.
Hmm.
Hundreds of thousands of tons. And as I learned a little bit about it, I wanted to do anything that I could to call attention to it.
You've been to places like Vietnam, where people still live with a legacy of these conflicts. What did you see? What did you see there?
I saw an incredible country with the most gracious people. I see an emerging nation. I feel such incredible sadness about what happened there. I mean, we destroyed an agrarian society, and so many lives were lost, American lives, Vietnamese, over a million plus Vietnamese people, 50,000 plus Americans. And so often the same question, for what?
So let me ask you about the state of this campaign, because you're following in the footsteps of some really big celebrities, Paul McCartney, the late Princess Diana.
Right.
How do you sort of summarize where we are? I mean, are you satisfied that the world is paying enough attention to this problem of landmines?
Absolutely not, because it's not just limited to Vietnam. It's Cambodia and Burma and Thailand and Afghanistan. I mean, they're still finding unexploded ordnance from the Second World War. So this is a endemic. This is worldwide.
You know, after all these years in Hollywood and TV, is this the work that sort of finally gives your life, I don't know, meaning?
Well, let's say it's the most meaningful thing to me that I can do. I have an incredible need to give back. The most important thing I can think of doing is to continue creating a legacy of he came and he gave and he helped.
I want to come back just one more question about the character of the world's most interesting man, because it seems to have taken off when the James Bond type hero has really changed in the popular culture. I'm thinking of Daniel Craig. He's darker.
Yes.
He's more brooding. He's more gritty. Do you have any thoughts on the way these archetypal characters have evolved over the years? And where you fit in with this character, the world's most interesting man?
Well, number one, I'm not nearly as suave and athletic as a Daniel Craig. But I think that, you know, perhaps the avuncular nature of this character, who's been around and has the ability to laugh at himself. A friend of mine once said, after being marooned in a hunting camp 3 days, ran out of books, ran out of oil, and just stayed in the tent, and he got outside afterwards when it ended and the stars were out, and he said, "Life is far too serious to take seriously." And I've never forgotten that.
Well, speaking of that, I wonder if you could just do a small favor for us here at Radio Boston. I want you to say,
okay,
I don't always listen to NPR, but when I do, I listen to Radio Boston.
Oh, that's easy. Okay. I don't often listen to NPR, but when I do, it's Radio Boston.
Excellent. Jonathan Goldsmith is an actor, advocate for landmine removal. He lives in Manchester, Vermont. He portrays the most interesting man in the world. And Jonathan Goldsmith, thank you so much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
I must add one thing to that.
Please do.
I always do listen to NPR, honest to God.
The most interesting man in the world listens to NPR.
Of course he does.
Of course he
does.
What
do you expect him to do?
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony... excuse me. And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for the most interesting radio show on the dial, Radio Boston.